Soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy without spot or wrinkle by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight. Be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God. Christian life, I have studied the word to show myself that I am approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. For when somebody studies the word of God, then he doesn't have to worry about false doctrine and false prophets coming to take him off the right track. You begin to understand what God wants. You begin to see and understand and know the heart of Christ. So when you study the Word of God, you become enlightened. The Bible teaches us that your eyes may be enlightened. The Word of God is food for the soul, even when you don't feel like it. Even when you're not hungry, you still have to eat, so you will be fed spiritually. This is a law that I made for myself since I have become a Christian, that I would study the Word on a constant basis. And after a while, it becomes a habit and you do it automatically. It is something that you are so accustomed to that you don't feel good if you leave it for a day or two. So people need to study the Word, because the Word of God teaches, as the day will approach the coming back of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we are seeing this in many, many churches today. So today I will teach on an interesting subject: different doctrines and strange ideas that have crept into the church over the last 10 to 15 years. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message so people will open their eyes and ears to the truth of God. For we are fast running out of time. I thank you, O Lord, that you will anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When I became a Christian years ago, I understood the Word of God when it talked about salvation, that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you become a child of the kingdom of heaven. But throughout my years as a pastor, I have run across people who argue the point. They seem to not understand the true way of salvation. Many will claim that they have accepted Jesus as Savior, but there is no transformation. They don't even understand the simplicity of the cross of Christ. When you talk to them about salvation, about the finished work of the cross, then automatically they will start to argue with you, saying, "Oh, I can accept Jesus and still sin as I want to." The Apostle Paul had an interesting scripture in Romans chapter 6 in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" If there is a person out there who claims that he is a Christian and there is no transformation in his life, there is no change of attitude, then Scripture itself will place doubt on that person's salvation. The book of Ephesians clearly teaches on that. Then we have those who go to the other extreme, telling us that we have to live a godly life so that we can enter into heaven by our own efforts. Yes, they claim they have accepted Jesus as their Savior, but we have to keep ourselves. If we fall into sin, we will lose our salvation. It reminds me of some churches that have a sign out in the front and say, "Come and accept Jesus for free. You don't have to pay nothing. He will give you eternal life." But when you enter in, when you join that church, then all of a sudden the preacher will tell you, "Now you have to pay rent to keep your salvation." This is how some people teach. No, salvation is by grace through faith in the finished work of the cross. And when you accept that, then something changes within you. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and God keeps you. The work that he has begun in you,
he will finish unto the day of Jesus Christ. That is found in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 6. And then we have the social gospel. This is a gospel that has crept into the churches over the last 10, 15 years. If it hasn't been there for longer, I just didn't pay too much attention to it. But when you go on the internet, you start seeing a lot of these heresy. The social gospel works like this. Socialism is having all things in common. In other words, helping each other. Incredibly how it sounds. We have to help one another. We have to share what we have with people. We have to make sure that we agree with them. All these social things that are being preached in churches today are a counterfeit for the gospel. The gospel is very simple and clear to understand. It tells us we're lost, we're dead in trespasses and sin, and we need a Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 3, it tells us, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, that's love, it profits me nothing. If I don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, I have nothing, because the only way a person can really have love for another person is when you're born again. Because you will then try to teach him how to become a Christian so that he'll enter into the kingdom of God. Never mind feeding the hungry, giving to the poor. That's recommended. That's in the Bible. But that's not salvation. If you focus on that, you will become proud. I grew up in a religion like that. Help one another, be at peace with one another. And the proud attitude that people get are very, very easy to see. So we need to understand, regardless how sociable you are, if you're not born again by the Spirit of God, regardless how good you are to your fellow man, if you're not born again, you will end up in the eternal lake of fire. This is what the Bible teaches us. And then we have this interesting gospel of sexuality today. People are simply blinded by Satan. There are many, many who are in the churches today claiming to be Christians while practicing homosexuality. That is an abomination to the Lord God. And many, many people are being deceived into thinking that God will accept them even though they don't repent. Homosexuality has been with us since the beginning of creation almost. But there is a problem in today's world. They claim that homosexuality is not a sin. That is the problem with homosexuality. They claim that it is not a sin. A drunkard doesn't claim that he is not sinning. A child molester will never claim that he is not sinning. He will not go and say, I'm a Christian even though I'm a child molester. But for some reason, a homosexual claims to be a Christian even while he is a practicing homosexual. The Bible teaches us something very interesting in Romans chapter 1 in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, who worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Look at what it's saying here. God give them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust, one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. And I've seen them step out in front of the mic and proclaim that they are Christians. Oh, the Apostle Paul didn't quite understand it in those days. That's their claim. Now God has enlightened us. He has shown us that he will accept us in this lifestyle. Oh, what a heresy. God gave them over to vile affection. And the Bible teaches us that he gives them over to a reprobate mind, that they all might be damned because they have no love for the truth. Yes, God will accept the homosexual once if he turns away from that sin. He will accept any sinner on this planet who sees himself as a sinner and accepts the free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You do not go on claiming to be right if the Bible teaches us that you're a sinner. So this is how it works today. People are just turning away from the truth and bringing unto themselves these damnable heresies, which will one of these days be brought to judgment, and then it will be too late for many of them. So we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us something very interesting, that the word of God was given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and whatever it says is the definite Word of God and will never change. If the Bible teaches us that man is dead in trespasses and sin, then he's dead in trespasses and sin. He needs a Savior. He cannot make excuses for his sin. We know people are doing all these things all over the world. They're making excuses for their sin. No, you have to accept the fact that we were born sinners. We need a Savior. And there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. So we need to turn to the Lord Jesus for salvation. God is not willing that any should perish. He made a way available for us to turn to so that we will receive salvation. And that was done 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross and took your sin and my sin upon himself. The Bible teaches us he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And those people who turn to him shall in no wise be turned away. Those that come to me I will in no wise cast out, saith the Lord God. But we as people need to see that. We need to understand we need a Savior. So give your life and heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today, for we are fast running out of time. It is about ready to be closed down, and then judgment will begin. So open your heart to these interesting truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Said, Father, if it be your will, as the sweat turned into blood, all at once his heart stood still, overcome by love. With 10,000 reasons why it didn't have to be, from the garden where he prayed, straight to Pilate's hall, where his perfect innocence took the blame for all. Hanging on that rugged cross, though he spoke not a word, in heaven, all over heaven, my name was heard. The night he came, the center of attention, and I was laying heavy on his heart.
When one listens to different preachers on the internet, there's a lot of confusion going on because many preachers don't understand the gospel. Most preachers today will preach that you have to do your best and hopefully at the end God will weigh you and find that you have passed the test. In other words, your good will outweigh the bad. That's what people preach today on the internet who call themselves Christians. That's not Christianity. That's a man-made religion and man trying to depend on his own righteousness for salvation. And I have talked to quite a few people who simply don't understand it in any other way. They have to do their best to keep themselves so that they will be accepted by God. But the Bible teaches us that we need to depend on Jesus and the righteousness of God and not our own righteousness, for our righteousness are as filthy rags. When one studies the Word of God, the Word of God teaches us we need to repent and be converted so that our sins will be washed away. The Bible teaches us that we need to be converted, and after we're converted, we need to stay away from the wickedness of this world. Before that, before you're converted, it doesn't matter whether you're wicked, whether you're good, whether you're bad. You still are going to end up in the eternal lake of fire because you need to become born again. When one studies the chapter of Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, it gives you a whole list of do's and don'ts. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it tells us this: but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. What does the Bible mean by that? What does scriptures tell us here? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The righteousness of God is perfection, no mistake of any kind. So how can we accomplish that? But the Bible teaches us, seek that first. And here is what it means. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then God's righteousness is implanted upon us. And all these things that God wants us to do are added unto us. Because the Bible teaches us that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the righteousness of God has to be implanted into us. We cannot achieve it ourselves for our righteousness. The Bible teaches us that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's quite a statement. And many, many people in the church world today don't seem to understand that. They try to keep themselves from evil so that they'll enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, keep yourself from evil. That should be a natural tendency for the born-again believer. But if you believe that keeping yourself from evil will get you into the kingdom of God by your own methods, if you think that is going to keep you, then you are listening to a other gospel. And the Bible teaches us, if any man brings another gospel, let him be accursed. And here is something that King David wrote in Psalms chapter 71 in verse 16. He tells us this: I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thine righteousness, even of thine only. So what is he saying here? He is not making any mention of his own righteousness, but he goes by the strength of the Lord and mentions the righteousness of God only. And that should be our outlook on salvation and on Christianity. It's the righteousness of God that enables us to enter into the kingdom of God. When we accept that righteousness for ourselves by faith, then it is imparted into us. This is what Scripture teaches. So we need to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to these truths and become a child of the kingdom of God, because Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.